This morning, we come to the penultimate talk in our series on the book of the prophet Habakkuk. And as Clive said when he started this series, Habakkuk was someone who asked big questions of God. He couldn't understand why God could allow injustice to go unpunished, and God promised him an answer. In today's reading, we learn what that answer was. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, 12 to 14 and 20. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. Woe to him who builds a city with bloodshed and establishes a town by injustice. Has not the Lord Almighty determined that the people's labour is only fuel for the fire, that the nations exhaust themselves for nothing? For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. Habakkuk probably lived around 600 BC, but if he could be transported through time to join us today, I think that sadly he would be all too familiar with our modern world. The same matters that troubled him are still with us. He was concerned about ruthless pagan conquerors spreading devastation among his people and their neighbours. We might not be able to call them pagan, but I think that most would regard Russia's invasion of Ukraine as ruthless and spreading devastation amongst innocent people, building a nation on war crimes and bloodshed. We have people traffickers willing to exploit desperate people, charging them a fortune to put their lives at risk in crossing the channel in flimsy dinghies or selling them into prostitution. We still have a world where many think it's acceptable to abuse alcohol or drugs and to encourage others to become addicted. We still have a world where people are filled with selfish ambition and climb further up the greasy pole by exploiting others. We still have a world where many worship idols, not the golden calf variety as in Moses' time, but wealth, possessions, fame or glamour. The list goes on and on, just as it did in Habakkuk's day. That caused him to want to question God's government of the world. Like many have done since, Habakkuk wanted to know why God allows oppression and injustice to go unpunished. When God replies, it's with an assurance that there will be a day of reckoning. Judgment will come. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. Make no mistake, judgment is coming. But many will ask, so why doesn't it come now? Why do evil people seem to get away with it and go unpunished? Well, the answer is that our God is patient and kind. As we can read in the second letter of Peter, chapter 3, verses 9 to 10, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and everything that is done on it will be disclosed. We are to be under no illusion. Judgment will come. and when it does, everything will be revealed. That's a very frightening prospect, because we all have things that we'd rather others didn't know about. We want judgment for others, the really bad people. We want them to get their just deserts, but forget that judgment is for all. In God's eyes, sin is sin, whether you're a mass murderer or just uncaring. Look at Romans chapter 2. Therefore, you have no excuse, whoever you are, when you judge others. For in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, are doing the very same things. Do you imagine, whoever you are, that when you judge those who do such things, and yet do them yourself, you will escape the judgment of God? The Bible couldn't be clearer. Judgment will come, and it will be a day of reckoning for everyone. Now, all this seems rather gloomy, but the title of this talk is A Trinity of Positivity. In other words, three things to make us feel positive. Although judgment is inevitable, we needn't fear that day if we are right with God. So let's look at three very positive things, beginning with the letter F. The first is faith. Faith is the key to overcoming fear and chaos. Judgment doesn't have to be a fearful prospect for us. As it says in verse 4, see, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. God is holy and just. He cannot tolerate sin in any shape or form, but through the sacrifice of his only Son on the cross for us, we can know that our sins have been dealt with. The price has been paid. Our sins have been washed away. Christ suffered the anguish of separation from his Father when he hung on the cross and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? For the one and only time in his life, Jesus knew the hopelessness and pain of being separated from his Father because of our sins. But as he breathed his last, he uttered a cry of triumph. It is finished. In that moment, Christ was able to announce that he'd completed what he came to do. We need not fear judgment if we have accepted that we are sinners, believe that Christ died for us, and call upon him as our Saviour. The second F is focus. We should focus on the final outcome, which will be glorious. Verse 14 tells us, but the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. When Christ returns, he will be acknowledged globally. Nowhere and no one will be in any doubt that Christ really is God and really is in control of this world. The prophet Isaiah had a vision of this wonderful, peaceful kingdom when he wrote, the wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. In other words, all creation will have knowledge of the glory of God and recognize it. Christ will be recognized by all as the King. And as it says in Philippians, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When the troubles of this present life seem insurmountable and injustice seems to have the upper hand, focus on the final outcome. And the final F is for fear not. The final verse of our reading today says, "The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him." The psalmist recognised this, even though he couldn't know, as we can, of the saving power of Christ. In Psalm 11 it says, "The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold his face." We have to see past the chaos around us and focus on our powerful God. In 1952, a young swimmer called Florence Chadwick stepped into the waters of the Pacific Ocean off Catalina Island, determined to swim to the shore of mainland California. She'd already been the first woman to swim the English Channel both ways. The weather was foggy and chilly. She could hardly see the boats accompanying her. Still, she swam for 15 hours. When she begged to be taken out of the water along the way, her mother, in a boat alongside, told her she was close and that she could make it. Finally, physically and emotionally exhausted, she stopped swimming and was pulled out. It wasn't until she was on the boat that she discovered the shore was less than half a mile away. At a news conference the next day, she said, "All I could see was the fog. I think if I could have seen the shore, I would have made it." We live in a world of chaos, a world of fog. It's difficult to see in front of us. We end up focusing on the fog because we can't see the shore. Jesus is coming in judgment for the wicked and the unbelievers, but he's coming to reign for those who do believe in him as their saviour. God is good, patient and forbearing, and wants everyone to come to repentance. On that day of judgment, Christians will be celebrating. Are you ready? Listen to the words of John 3, verse 17. "God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God." Where do you stand with Jesus Christ? It's never too late to acknowledge Jesus as your Saviour, to turn to him for forgiveness, and to welcome him into your life as your Lord. When you do that, you can be confident in the chaos, knowing that ultimately God is in control. If you've never accepted Christ as your Saviour, can I urge you to do it now? If you've already acknowledged Christ as your Lord and Saviour, perhaps you'd like to renew that commitment now. When we do that, we can look beyond the storms of life to the safety of the distant shore, with Christ to guide us there. As I say this prayer, perhaps you'd like to echo the words and the commitment in your own heart. Heavenly Father, I know that I am a sinner. I want to accept your forgiveness, and I call upon you as my Saviour to lead me through the rest of my life. Amen.